Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, just a famous sermon and series of teachings that Jesus did. Obviously, he continued to teach those same things and additional things as he was here on earth, that we find some of that recorded in the Gospels. And reading through this Sermon on the Mount, there's this phrase that kept reoccurring to me. He mentions it six times. And I just want to share this thought with you as we prepare to confess our sins and look to the Lord and celebrate what he has done for us on the cross and what that means for us and celebrate communion together. And there's this phrase in this sermon that Jesus says. He says it six times. He says, "But I say to you," say it with me, "but I say to you." Prior to that, he will state what they have been taught or something that has been said, and then he brings this opportunity for us, for the audience, to say, "Oh yeah, I know what has been said, that's right, but now he says this." And it's this opportunity to recognize maybe a measure of truth of what has been said, but now Jesus says this, and it's greater. It brings clarity. It goes to another level. And it's this opportunity to, convert to what Jesus is saying. Leave what maybe has formed our thinking and our attitude and the way we function to the way of saying, "I abandon that, but now I hear what Jesus is saying, and this is what I'm going to choose to believe, and now let that renewal, that shaping of my thinking be different than what it was." He would say things in his message. I'll give you an example. I will not read all six. Matthew 5, verse 27, we'll just pick this one. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.'" You've heard this. He says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." If you were to go through this sermon, and you'll see these others where, "You shall not commit murder. Whoever murders will be liable for judgment." You've heard that said, "But I say to you that if you have anger towards a brother or hatred, you've already committed murder in your heart." In other words, Jesus, on all of these levels, that "but I say to you," it goes from this outward conduct appearance of being holy, right, to Jesus says, "Wait a second, God looks way beyond your outward conduct, and he looks to the depths of who you are, where you think and feel and have motive and attitude." In other words, to commit adultery in their mind is said, "Don't commit adultery." They know what that means, and it's an outward action. And Jesus says, "You've heard that, but I say to you, if you think it in your heart, you've already done it." Murder. You took someone's life in a malicious way. It was murder out of selfish or envy or arrogance or some work of the flesh. And Jesus says, "You've heard that. Don't commit murder. But I tell you, if you have anger towards a brother and hatred in your heart, you've already done it." See, holiness is not about just outward conduct. It's about holiness inside that affects our conduct. But Jesus comes through and he says these things. But I say to you, or you've heard it said. He did this once because obviously he loved people and he wants them to be restored to God and their inner attitude and faith in God and what he's really like. And that holiness is not just outward, I followed the rules, but on the inside, corruption still lives. He wanted to correct some of their theology. He wanted to move them along in their faith with God and understand God and their relationship with him and how that affects us and we live in this life. And so he would say these things. You've heard it said, but I say to you. Takes it to a whole nother depth, a whole nother level for us. And as you get beyond the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't necessarily say, but I say to you, but what he does is he begins to say things and teach and live things out and explain things and continues to tell stories about the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. Everything in my life, your life, as a believer, that we hear, that we read, that we take in somewhere, from strangers to a sign to someone we know to someone in authority to people in our house to a neighbor, doesn't matter. We hear these words, we hear phrases. But I'd like to get to the point where in my life where I hear and I listen to what they're saying, but in here I go, but this is what Jesus is saying to me. Because he will always bring the purity of his word to us. He will never contradict it. And there are some things in this world that we hear that might sound good, but they are not from him. And I have to come back to the place that says, but what is Jesus saying? I've heard this, I've read this, I've even maybe believed it. Maybe I've even repeated it. But Jesus comes along and says, but this is what I say to you. There's all kinds of things that trip us up in this life. Things we heard from people. Did you ever hear something called old wives' tales? You ever hear those? Old wives' tales. Now, just to bring a little understanding to that phrase of old wives' tale, it's you can go back in history and the old English, the word is WIF, and it doesn't necessarily mean a woman who's married. It just means an adult woman. That's all it means. And so through time, we've made it old wives' tales. And women would get together and repeat things they've heard or they grew up with, and they would tell it to younger women or they would tell it to their children. And so this phrase is adult women, you know, got together, and from time to time, they would pass on legend, folklore, they would pass on fables, they would pass on unqualified remedies for relationships, for sickness, for, you know, growing up. They would use phrases and stories that would manipulate children in their mind to get them to behave so that they would not grow up learning undesirable conduct. Right? You ever have some of these growing up? I'll give you a few examples. My Grandpa Johnson, my mom's dad, he would say something to me when I was a little kid. And he would say, you eat your carrots. You eat more carrots. They're going to give you good vision. They'll help you see better. I'd like, oh. He'd say, Randy, I'll prove it to you. Have you ever seen a rabbit with glasses? He was always telling jokes and funny things, and he was just an entertaining grandfather, okay? And a lot of great memories and stories of my Grandpa Jay. And, you know, so I always, no pun intended, looked at carrots differently. And, you know, I've even told my kids that. Now, the reality is, carrots are not going to mend your sight. Now, granted, there is a beta-carotene ingredient in carrots that helps support eye health. But it's not going to, like, if you struggle with your eyes and you just start devouring carrots, it's not like it's going to heal your eyes, okay? And, you know, so, but I will say this. I have never seen a rabbit hopping around the woods or my yard or anywhere else with glasses on. So, you know, that was his proof. It's things like that, silly things like that. Some of them are silly, but some of them people take to heart. They, you know, do these things. I'll give you some more that aren't maybe earth-shattering, but you get the idea of what wives' tale are. You ever hear the five-second rule? Food falls on the floor. Five-second rule. In other words, you know, as long as it's not down there more than 5 seconds, I can pick it up, it's clean, and it didn't contract anything, and I still eat it. I want you to know that's a complete lie. There's no truth in it. Bacteria is immediate. So if you live by the 5 second rule, you know, God gave you an iron gut, that's great, good for you. I tend not to eat off the floor. Well, depending what it is. No, I get it. I think I got to be out of that. No, I don't. You might have the cleanest floor ever, and people say you could eat off it, and I'm so grateful and all that, but I'm not coming over and eating off your floor. So we say things like that, but they kind of stick with us. You know, even when it comes to, like, relationships and stuff. Some of you will be old enough to know what this is. I don't know if they still do this, because I don't know that my kids ever did it. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Some of you are going like, okay, what is going on, man? Get me back to the youth service. No. People would take flowers and they pluck the petals off it. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me. And the last one, does it mean that he loves me? Or she? I don't know that I ever, as a guy, ever picked a flower and did that. I don't know. But not that it's wrong if you're a guy and that's how you determine your love. You need help. Okay, so not because you picked a flower, but that is not how you determine love. Ever been to a wedding that they throw the bouquet? You ever been to that? Bride takes her bouquet at the reception, turns her back, and all the women who are attending, who are single, get behind her, and this is where you see them throw off their high heels, and they don't care that they're wearing a dress. They are hungry to get the bouquet. Do you know why? Because it says that when they throw the bouquet, whoever catches it gets married next. How many of you caught a bouquet ever? How many of you got married next? None of you. Mayo Clinic says, not true. See, these kind of things. And we can think of them joke and no big deal, and you know, it's we don't like our children crossing their eyes too much. You know, when they're little and they're in the high chair and say, can you do this and can you do that and can you stick your tongue out? Can you really, can you look across? And then they start to do it. You're like, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. But a year later, when they're trying to get attention and crossing their eyes, you start going, no, don't do that, because if you do that, they could stay stuck that way. It was cute before, but now I don't want you doing it all the time. It's just not true. But we, you know, come up with things. Of course, through life, we come with more serious things. Things like, this is your last name, this is where you're from, and so just accept that this is all you will ever be. You ever told similar things like that in your life? Parent, a teacher, somebody? And all of a sudden, it seeps in. Something doesn't go right in your life, and all of a sudden, this wives' tale pops up, and you go, oh, maybe that's true. And so I'm just stuck. This is the peak of, you know, what I'll ever do, what I'll ever have, what I'll ever be. And it just kind of goes over in your mind. And now you're an adult, and you're down the road, and you're having your own kids. And now you curse them with the same kind of stuff. You take a fall. You break your arm. Tear your ACL. And some well-meaning, even Christian person comes along and says, oh, that happened to me, and I'm just filled with arthritis now. You're going to have arthritis the rest of your life. And all of a sudden, the cast is off, and you're mending up, and it's a year and a half, 2 years down the road, and all of a sudden, you feel like, oh, man, I feel stiff. I feel a little inflamed. And, oh, they're right. Oh, I've got arthritis. But I say to you that your faith will make you whole. Who said that? Jesus. See, there are things that he says. Oh, why do I keep going through it? I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. Why all the tests? Why all the trials? Why all the difficulties? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why me? Huh. But I say to you, the testing of your faith will prove, will bring forth perseverance, a character quality. Something that looks a lot more like Jesus. But I say to you, I know some of you are out here this morning, you think, oh man, I've believed some of this stuff. I've taken this, some of this stuff on me. I've said some of this stuff to other people. It's amazing when somebody comes with a difficulty or an ailment or whatever it is. Especially health issues. I've discovered this as I've gotten a little older. I got news for you. We need more topics. Instead of the five people getting together and they just talk about all their ailments all the time. I'm not saying you can't ever mention a need or something going on, but my goodness. We just start talking about it and reinforcing it. And it's interesting. You tell somebody something that happened because they asked. Sometimes they don't and you just offer it. But regardless, we do it. And then the hearer or hearers start to go, oh, yeah. Well, you know, I had something like that. Or, oh, that's nothing. I went through, you know, the story gets, mine's worse than yours. Right? We just jump in and throw our story in there. And it's okay to exchange stories. It's building common ground. But they're the one that's hurting at the moment, and we jump in with our story like all of a sudden it's my hour, not yours. You know, we all have a tendency to do that. But I would like that in the redeemed life that our tendency would be with compassion we would listen, and rather than tell our story, is say, I want to share with you the story of Jesus. If you're a Christian brother or sister, this is what the Lord says. Let's pray for this. Let's do this. Let's do something rather than just hearing and receiving, accepting, and just saying, yep, this is all it'll ever be. I know that we age and get older. I just had a birthday. Not my favorite number in the world, that's for sure. You know, you try to decide, is this because of injury or is this because I'm getting old? Or is it not that I'm just getting old, it's just I have less energy, so therefore I do less, and so therefore, because I don't take care of myself and exercise like I should, doing small tasks become harder, and I just chalk it up as I'm old. See, I got to fight that before it gets too late. It's something turning 40. It was 20 years ago when I turned 40. It was quite something. And, you know, I have people come up and say, you turned 60. And these are the nice people. And the honest people, oh, you don't look, you're not 60 years old. I say, well, thank you. I love you. I know we just met in the grocery store, but I love you, you know. Or I'll say, I'm not doing too bad for, you know, an old man. I got to think, oh, you're not old. Just wait. And then they start to go on with a story about how bad it is. And here's the thing, we laugh, we joke, we do it, we hear it, but we walk away and it's like there's this residue of it that lives in us. And then when something goes on, somehow that little incidental thing creeps in. And it starts to shape our attitude and build our framework. Think about it. Why have you wrestled with some of the things in your self-identity? Did it go back to what a parent said about you or a teacher said about you or some kids picked on you? We didn't call it bullying back then. They just picked on us. And we didn't put banners all over town. We learned to get down on the sandbox and work it out. Anyhow, sorry, I know. I mean, yep. Yep, God bless you, go home, we're done. Yep, he's not going to be hanging around. Deacons are getting letters this week. But these things, you've dealt with stuff because of what somebody said to you somewhere. They may have had no truth. It may have had maybe a little bit of circumstantial truth at the moment, at the time, at the development you were. But time's gone by, and that has lagged on, and you carry it with you. Whatever they are, whatever all those phrases are, I want you to know that Jesus stands there and stands here. And in your tomorrows that he gives you. But I say to you, whose report will you choose to believe? I'm not telling you that everything's been said to you is a lie. There are some things that are true. There are some things that, you know, you didn't get the part in the play because you maybe weren't the best actor, actress for that role at that time. That's the truth. Maybe they gave it to a favorite, then it's not the truth. But there are things in our life that aren't true. I can't stand up here and say, you are the most beautiful looking person in all the world. And then go over here and say, you are the most beautiful person in all the world. Well, he didn't say it to me. I'm not beautiful. You know, we get all whatever. You're not the smartest kid in the class. You got a D. That's a fact. Doesn't mean you're stupid. Doesn't mean you couldn't learn. Means maybe you struggled, and most likely you were staring at the cute person in the class and you didn't remember anything for the test. You were too busy trying to be funny. Or you were just wanting to play basketball. Or whatever, you just didn't apply yourself. It was too hard. I wasn't interested. They're a horrible teacher. Listen, there are certain things that are just true about us we need to accept, but there's a whole lot of things that, you know what? It's like wives' tales. It's been bad stuff that you've been told. So who are you going to believe? If we will get to know him and learn his ways and his words, then we will understand that we no longer have to live under the influence of wives' tales, lies, bullying, if you like it, whatever it is. But that was a person who was supposed to love me the most, and they disappointed me, and they hurt me deeply. Listen, that's legitimate. I get it. It hurts. But I got to come back to this. So what? I'm sorry, that's part of this life, and it's part of why faith makes so much sense and why I need to choose and listen to what Jesus has to say. Who are you going to listen to? Why are you 52 and you're still suffering with self-image because of what somebody said 30, 40 years ago? Yeah, but they were really important to me. Yeah, I get the story. You can explain it, you can flesh it all out, good, but at the end of the day, take the pill. Take your medicine. Get healthy, Randy, and whoever, whatever your name is. Jesus stood there and he said, but I say to you, this is what you've been told. And there might be partial truth in it. It might sound good to you. It might be coming from somebody famous. It might be coming from some spokesperson. It might be coming from the super model person of whatever. And so you think it's got to be true. I got news for you. Not all of that propaganda is true. How many of you women are wearing makeup? I love you and you're beautiful, but you don't look like the woman on the commercial. Oh, that's it. I'm really not coming back here. Hey, guys, you ever done a few push-ups? You do not look years ago. That's my man. Meet you for pie. Okay. Went from push-ups to pull-ups. Did a few push-ups. I do not look like the guy in the commercial. And he is doing way more than just a few push-ups. My after picture is not looking all that good. It's this shirt. Hey, listen, man. Back when you were my friend, no, I'm kidding. I know you're joking, and it wouldn't matter because I've become healthier as a person throughout the. I mean, this does cover a multitude of sins. It is kind of like Jesus. It's my Jesus shirt. It covers a multitude of sins, but. See, now listen, a joke like that. Now listen, now, you didn't do anything wrong. Please don't apologize. I'm fine. But it's something like that that happens somewhere. And you know what? I'll never wear this shirt again. Now, don't take hope. I'm wearing this shirt again. But see, it's something like that somewhere in our life. And now we're like, oh, I can't wear a flowery shirt. I can't wear a pink shirt. I had the pink shoes on, but they were a different color, really different color pink, so I didn't wear those. It would have been, okay, now he needs help. But it's something like this somewhere in your life. Somebody said something, did something. Because I know what he said is not the truth. But somebody somewhere, and I've got to get to the point where I hear it. Well, what does he say about the important things in my life? You have heard it said, but I say to you. Could be a spouse, whatever it is. One thing I want you to listen to and pay attention to in the closing verse before we pray and move to communion is in John chapter 5. It's specifically at verse 14. But it's the story there where Jesus shows up at the pool of Bethesda, and there's lame and sick people all around the pool. If you've read this, you know the story. Randomly, an angel would come down, stir the waters, and the first person who got into the water would be healed. Jesus walks into this area, and he sees a man. And the man starts to say, somebody always gets in ahead of me. He's a paralytic. Somebody always gets in ahead of me. He's frustrated. He wants life restored. Jesus heals him. The man didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus heals him. He didn't have to wait for the angel. He didn't have to wait for the waters to be stirred. He didn't have to wait in line. He's just in the crowd. He heals him. And Jesus' departing words to him was this. He healed him. But this is what I say to you. I want you to hear that. This is what Jesus said to him. Stop sinning now. Or something worse may happen to you. Jesus brings him the gift, restores him. He says, but I say to you, stop sinning or something worse may happen. Sin, it steals, it kills, it destroys. Jesus brings life. Wherever you have been robbed from, stolen, somebody took something from you, I don't mean a shirt, I mean they robbed something. Broke something, destroyed something. I want you to know that Jesus brings life. But at the moment he brings life, hear what he says to you. Be very aware. Stop continuing in sin. Because if you don't, there's a chance something worse will happen. So you matter to him, and he wants you to know that he will bring a gift. He will bring instructions. And some of the things in our life are not the result of other people. Some of it is the result of our own decision and choice. Even when someone has said something, I still have the ability to choose. Am I going to believe that and live according to that hurt? Or do I reject that and remember what Jesus is saying to me? Who are you listening to? What little fables? What little wives' tales have you still hung on to? 1 Timothy 4:7, he writes this. He says, don't waste time arguing over godless myths, fables, and wives' tales. Have nothing to do with them. Please tell me that love doesn't have to do, and healthy relationships don't have to do with the plucking of petals off of a flower. Please tell me. Please tell me there is not a huge gumball, a cumulative gumball in my gut because I swallowed gum when I was a kid. Mayo Clinic does say this, that you don't digest it, but it passes through your system and it doesn't necessarily take 7 years. I'm not telling you to go swallow gum and it's okay, but some of these things, but we do the serious things. This person said this person said that. It's like now listen to this, and I mean this, and it's like they've cast a spell over our thinking. I would mention other examples that are more significant, but I tell you what the danger is. The reason I use some funny, silly ones is you can probably discern they're not really the... But there are more serious ones, and I don't want to mention them because you'll remember them and you'll think them, and something will come along in your life and you'll go, oh yeah. On my wedding day, I want to make sure I'm going to do this because I remember Pastor Randy talking about this. And no, I'm not giving you anything to trip over here. It comes back to what he says. Oh, no wonder our marriage is so hard. We got married in the wrong month. Really? The month you get married in determines how your marriage is going to be? I don't think so. Because I've met couples who were married in the same month, and one is doing good and the other, well, it's not so good. But that stuff plays on your mind. Now, you can do what you want and you can live above it. Maybe it's just a game to you and all that stuff. You work that out with Jesus, but I don't read fortune cookies. I like Chinese food. And you can read them and you don't have to feel guilty over them. I'm not telling you that Jesus said here in Revelation 94, verse 7, don't read. I'm just telling you, I personally don't read them. And for me, it's because something will happen down the road and I'll remember that fortune cookie. That is not what I want to come to my mind. Now, you're more mature in all of that, so you do as you see fit with the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you to abandon fortune cookies. What I am telling you is, no matter what we hear or say or read or whatever's been told us or whatever it is, I got to come back to say, Jesus, what you say to me, crunch, crack, your life will be filled with difficulty, but you will overcome in the end. Now you're walking out going, oh man, I know, I'm going to get in a car accident on the way home or something happened. Yep, that fortune cookie was right. Boy, I don't know. That is folly. Don't waste your time. And don't waste any more time on what you were told somewhere in your past. He made a way for you. What does he say? This is what you've heard. This is what's been said. But I say to you. So I want you to bow your head all over this room. I want you to take a moment and talk to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit help you survey. Lord, if there's sin in my life, I want to confess it to you right now. And you do that right where you sit or stand. And for you, maybe it's not some gross, obvious sin. It's not like you have to go on a big hunt. But in light of this morning, are there things that you say, pass on, hang on to, that come up in your mind, or people have said to you and you've embraced it and accepted it, and you have forgotten, Christian, what Jesus has to say? And that his words are life and truth. Confess those things. And believe him and trust him. And as the testing comes, trust him. Remember what he said. And you might be amazed what happens in your faith and the restoration and health that comes to your body, your soul, and your spirit. Because his words are living and active and sharper.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.